You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese. Good morning.
And we are here every fourth Wednesday of the month from 9 to 10. And our show does exactly what the title says. We focus on the liturgical life of the church. We look at our rites and the seasons and various rituals, spend a lot of time talking about the Sunday Eucharist. That's the source and the summit, the very center of our lives. All things that have to do with the corporate, communal, public ritual life of the church.
And coming this weekend, we have a big change to the corporate public worship of the church. We start
For a number of reasons.
Yes, we start a brand new liturgical year.
It's a big weekend.
We begin Advent, and we are, as we look towards the second coming of Christ, and then start counting down towards Christmas.
One of my favorite seasons.
Me too.
And not just because it's connected to, you know, Christmas, you know, the whole hype and the cultural hype that we have. Not that. I just love the season of Advent. Expectant hope.
Exactly.
And that whole kind of twofold, like you just said, we begin, and I don't think many Catholics realize this, but we begin Advent not by looking at Bethlehem.
No, not at all.
No, we begin by looking forward.
We end the liturgical year, the last few months of ordinary time, by looking at the end times, the second coming of Christ, the return of Christ in his glory.
And last week we celebrated the Sunday, the solemnity of Christ the King of all creation.
Christ, King of the Universe. Yes, they changed, they changed the translation and the title.
More about that later.
Yes, exactly. But we end the liturgical year by focusing on the end times, and it's a perfect segue into a brand new liturgical year. It's cyclical, and so we end that way, and we begin that way.
Yep.
So the first 2 weeks of Advent are always focused on his return.
So we look, I mean, it's you hear the prophet, the prophetic books that talk about the promised Messiah, and we, you know, you hear from Paul and his letters that say, you know, wait in joyful expectation and to be mindful. We don't know the hour.
Right.
Only the second 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then do we look back?
Around the December 17th, the readings start to shift. And so it's more focused on Bethlehem and the Nativity. And we hear of the Annunciation to Mary, for example. And as, you know, as the days get closer to Christmas, that's the focus. So it's a twofold meaning of Advent.
It's our new year, so not just a new season, but as you said, it's a whole new year of grace.
Exactly. We start a new liturgical year, but also we have some exciting things happening for this first Sunday of Advent.
My gosh, momentous.
Momentous.
Really,
10 years
truly.
In the making, or if you want to look at 40 years in the making of the progression of thought in our translation process. But this Sunday, the massive anticipation on Saturday evening marks the use of the full Roman Missal. As we know, we've been doing the Gloria and the Holy Holy and the Memorial Acclamation since September of early implementation. But now, for the first Sunday of Advent, is the official implementation of the complete Missal. So all of the prayers have changed with a new translation. So the Eucharistic prayers that you hear, the opening prayer, the collect, the prayer of
everything,
the offerings, the
everything
creed,
has been retranslated.
Everything.
It doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going to sound be different or sound different,
right.
But the vast majority of it will. And Danielle, we were even kind of laughing before the show. If any of our listeners, if they've tuned in at any point in this last year, we've touched on it every single month.
Yes.
For this whole calendar year, as of January of this year, we decided that we would dedicate at least half of the show, mm-hmm. and in many cases it was the whole show, mm-hmm. To some aspect of the coming English translation, and finally it's here.
Exactly.
Now, part of that is excitement, and part of me is just wondering if the listeners aren't going, oh, thank God, they can stop talking about this missile. But every single show, we've mentioned it, and this show is going to be no different.
Exactly.
This is, it's literally within days, mm-hmm. that we'll begin using that, so how could this show not?
Exactly. It's 3 days away.
Over to the, mm-hmm. the English translation of the Roman Missal. And so we want to look at that. We want to look at some of the things that we think parishes can expect, mm-hmm. and the parishioners can expect this weekend. And at the same time, we want to maybe do a for those listeners who may not have heard a lot
in.
Of
mm-hmm.
our stuff, right? We'll be able to do a little bit of review and setting the context as well, just getting people set.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you said it. 40 years in the making, in one sense, yeah, I can see that's a great perspective. But just on a very practical level, mm-hmm. not since
2001.
Well, I was even going earlier than that. I mean, you know, since I was going to say 1975,
oh,
but I don't even think you can
sure.
say that, because the second edition, when it was issued and fully, you know, and completely in 75, there wasn't much. There was some tweaking, but it wasn't. I don't think it was as different to in comparison to the first edition as this translation is going to be. You know, to the 1975 edition.
Right. Well, with those, the whole process or methodology of translation has changed dramatically since those editions. So it is going to be very, very different.
And I mean, that's why I think the word momentous is mm-hmm. not an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's the most significant change in the English translation since 1973-75.
Right.
So,
you know, up until this point, we've been using the English translation from the first and the second edition, mm-hmm. And in that sense, you know, it's the only translation I've known.
Right,
it's the only translation
mm-hmm.
you too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little anxious about this coming weekend. It's in some ways I am recognizing, you know, that I don't know any other translation, where some of our listeners may very well be able to say that they worshipped, you know, before, during, and after the Second Vatican Council.
Right.
And so for them, this they have had this experience of mm-hmm. hearing the Mass differently. I mean, when you think the first time that people would have heard the whole Mass in English for the first time.
Right.
So I think we can truly say that this is a significant weekend in the life of the Church of the United States.
Right. And you and I have had a long time to work up to this. So for some, you know, this is the first that they've heard about it and obviously experience it. So the feelings are going to be, I think, all over the map and the reactions. But now, you know, we kind of continue the catechesis and the formation on this, not just, you know, we can't stop this weekend.
Right.
It's
got to
continue.
Oh, my gosh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. As one of our colleagues have said, the real work begins on November 28th, the
yes.
Monday after.
Yes.
So we'll pick it up there when we come back from this first break. So stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy, where we're talking about what else? The Roman Missal. We'll be right back after these messages.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And before that first break, we were just talking about this upcoming weekend and its significance on a number of different levels, a brand new liturgical season, brand new liturgical year, and the implementation of the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
Yes.
And Danielle, I mean, we have said over and over and over on the show, and even in our own presentations mm-hmm. that both of us have been doing and other members of ODW, this is not a new Mass.
No, not at all.
We are not getting a new Mass this coming weekend.
Right. The changes to the structure, the flow of the Mass
already happened.
With the Second Vatican Council, the revisions were made at that time. So the Mass is still in four parts. All of the subparts are the same. What we're talking about is a change in the words.
Right.
It's a new translation of prayers that have already existed. The Latin prayers are the same. They've been with us. Some of them for centuries.
Exactly. And I think that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
You just said it. It's the Mass isn't new.
Mm-hmm.
And the prayers aren't new either.
No.
We're not getting new prayers. But for the most part.
For the most part.
Some
mm-hmm.
of them are. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the saints that have been canonized since the last edition was published.
Right.
The Eucharistic prayers that were approved since the last edition was published.
Right.
But even then, you know, like that Eucharistic prayer isn't new. We've had it since the late 80s, early 90s.
The Masses for various seasons and occasions. Yeah, I think that was the late 80s or early 90s.
So
this was prayers.
We've mm-hmm. had that. Mm-hmm. We've had that approved. It's just not been in the Missal
right.
until now. So the prayers aren't new either.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way those texts have been translated from the Latin that is new.
And what we're talking about, it's called the Roman Missal, and it's essentially the book of prayers and rubrics for the celebration of Mass. It's the red book that the priest uses. It's what has been called the sacramentary.
Mm-hmm.
And after, for centuries they had sacramentaries that collected all of the prayers of the church. They had the book of the Gospels. They had lectionaries. And after the Second Vatican Council, the Roman Missal evolved, and it did include the readings, and they separated them into two different books. So you had the lectionary for Mass, and then which has the readings, and then the sacramentary, which had all of the prayers and the rubrics. It still does, but it's still retained in the Latin. It still retained the name Missale Romanum, which is now literally translated as the Roman Missal, which
right.
is why the name is changing from sacramentary to the Roman Missal. But John Paul II promulgated this third edition. So since the Vatican Council, there have been three editions in Latin.
Right.
He promulgated the third edition in 2000 to commemorate the new millennium. And there was a real practical need for this new Latin edition. He canonized many, many saints, over
483.
483. Okay. I thought it was 479. It's even more. Dioceses have particular observances of these saints. We're not celebrating all 400 and some
right.
saints. So those that were added to the proper calendar for the Diocese of the United States, for example, we needed prayers for these saints. So collects needed to be added,
right.
and then they needed to be translated. But following that year, after he promulgated the Missal, In 2001, the Vatican issued a document called Liturgium Authenticum, which was a document of translation, and it changed the methodology. So we moved from what was called dynamic equivalence, which basically translated the meaning of the text, mm-hmm. to what's called formal equivalence, which is a more literal translation of the Latin text.
I don't know about you, Danielle, but in the work, I know you've been doing some presentations. Mm-hmm. Our office certainly has too for the last year now. A question that comes up, an FAQ, mm-hmm. frequently asked question, comes up often, is, and it's phrased differently, but it's, you know, why, the question of why didn't we translate it more literally to begin with, mm-hmm. And one of the I think a perspective that's very helpful is this, you know, early on in the renewal and in the translation of the liturgical text into English, I think people forget that this is the first time that would have been the first time that we would be hearing, that we would hear these prayers and these texts in our own language. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that the church would have undertaken translating the liturgical texts on this level. Mm-hmm. Never before on this level, the whole mm-hmm. Eucharistic celebration. Mm-hmm. Never had it been translated on this level. So it makes sense to me when you look at what one of the aims of the council was to enliven the faith of Catholics,
right?
That's right. John the 23rd was calling it, you know, called for a new Pentecost, that the faith life of Catholics needed to be enlivened all over the world.
Right.
And one of the first vehicles chosen to help enliven the faith was the Mass.
Exactly.
And the bishops said that in the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, paragraph 48, that, I love this, we've quoted, I believe, this section before. The Church earnestly desires that when the faithful are present at the Eucharistic celebration, they should not be there as strangers or as mere spectators, but that they should clearly understand mm-hmm. the prayers mm-hmm. and they should clearly understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. Well, it makes sense to me that the Church would say, okay, if they should understand the text of these prayers, then make sure they understand the meaning.
Right.
And so that's what dynamic equivalence is.
It
translates the meaning of the prayer, the message. And again, that makes perfect sense to me. If this is the first time we'd be hearing all of it to this level in our own language, make sure they understand the meaning.
Right. You know, for some of our listeners, they may have only ever have participated in the Mass in English. So that whole full context is not fully understood because that's all that we've known. But if you put it in a historical perspective, this is very new to the life of the church.
Oh my God.
We've only been celebrating Mass in English for 40 plus years.
And
so
in 2000 year history?
Yes, it's new.
And it's still new.
And I think it's helpful to know that, you know, it's going to grow. It's going to change. We're going to get better at it. We're going to, you know, look back and say, oh, maybe this would have been better. And why don't we do it like this? So it's going to change.
Yeah.
It's
at this point, we're at a point, I think, where the church is saying, okay, we've had these texts for 40 years. And as first attempts at translation, they've been good texts.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more in our Latin text.
Right.
Let's go to the next level.
Right.
Let's go deeper. And that's what I think we've done with a more literal translation, which is as you said, was what was given in Liturgium Authenticum
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the year after John Paul issued the third edition, which called for a different method of translation.
Right. And Todd, you mentioned something about the text that we have been saying, the old or former texts, were good translations. And it's important to note that those who did the translation on those prayers were following the guidelines of the church. So they weren't wrong. We're not correcting error. We've just changed the methodology.
We're going deeper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to the next level.
Right.
The next level of this liturgical renewal called for by the bishops of the world, led by the Holy Spirit in the Second Vatican Council. We're going to the next level.
Right.
And as you said earlier, you know, it's exciting in
mm-hmm.
that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Beginning this coming weekend.
Yeah.
You know, whenever anything changes, I think what it does is it calls us to pay attention more.
Exactly.
And
we'll pick up on that when we come back.
Stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knott from LTP.
We're talking about this coming weekend and its significance as in regard to a new liturgical year, but also the full implementation of the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. And Danielle, even during that break, you and I were just talking about some of the characteristics mm-hmm. that people are going to notice, mm-hmm. and in one sense that they'll notice about this English translation as they begin hearing it. But I think another thing to keep in mind is that, you know, these characteristics, they're there specifically because it's a more literal translation of the Latin.
Right.
That's why we're going to notice them, because of the translation.
Right. And like we said before, it's not the Latin prayers that are changing. It's the English translation of those Latin prayers, which in some cases we've had since the second century, like Eucharistic prayer 2.
Oh my gosh.
These are ancient texts.
The ritual dialogues, mm-hmm. you know, Dominus vobiscum et cum spiritu tuo, the right. Lord be with you and with your spirit, and as we've been saying, and also with you. I mean, we've had that
right.
since the third century.
Right. And that, when we're talking about the literal translation of the Latin, that's one of the best examples, I think, of that translation is the Lord be with you and with your spirit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the literal translation of Et Cum Spiritu Tuo. One of the cool things about this is since the original translation into English, the English-speaking countries were the only ones who translated the general meaning of that response of "and also with you." And the other languages, Italian, Spanish, German, French.
Those languages which are already closer to the Latin
exactly,
language.
Exactly. They translated it in their vernacular literally. Mm-hmm. So they've been saying "end with your spirit" in their vernacular all along.
Right.
So this unifies all 11 or all English-speaking countries with those other languages.
The other major languages
great.
Of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one universal prayer.
Exactly.
You know, I think it highlights that value of communion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are all in the communion mm-hmm. Of the church. Exactly.
Right.
And some other characteristics some of the characteristics that people will notice, I think are
beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
There's a poetry to the Latin that is sometimes lost in translation. There's a rhythm to it, and the translators, to the best of their ability, have tried to capture that poetry and followed the Latin syntax and follow that rhythm or that cadence in the English translation. I think one of my favorite examples of this is the Gloria. And
mine
I
too.
Do
but
I do
think
wanna...
it's the best example
oh,
too. I
yeah.
think it's one of the best examples of that characteristic, the poetic elements.
Exactly. And I think it's important to talk about the Gloria in this particular show, because since we're starting Advent, you won't hear the Gloria except for on Immaculate Conception and Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. For those parishes who have been doing early implementation and singing the text of the Gloria, you're probably already familiar mm-hmm. with this text, but there's a whole stanza that wasn't translated before, that is now. And it's a literal to the Latin, and you can get a sense of the poetry and the beauty of this text. And it says, "We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father." I love that.
That's in the very that's the very introduction of the glory to mm-hmm. God. I mean, where we, you know, look at that hymn, an ancient hymn that is meant to give us the words with which to give praise mm-hmm. to God. We begin the liturgy by praising God. Exactly. And you're right. I love that too. I love that whole stanza.
Mm-hmm. The scriptural allusions too with the translation of the Gloria starts right out with "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill." Literal translation of the scripture coming from the Latin Vulgate. That's where all of this comes from. And you're going to see or hear a lot of those scriptural allusions throughout the Mass.
Allusions, references, mm-hmm. And in some cases, actual quotes. We make it a point. We've been making it a point in the workshops that we've been doing around the Archdiocese, of kind of raising that I don't think most Catholics realize Mm-mm. how much Scripture has been woven throughout the words of our prayers.
Right.
Which, Danielle, if you think about it, it is kind of profound
mm-hmm.
that since the earliest years, that's been a tradition.
Right.
We inherited it from our Jewish forefathers
right.
and mothers, where we lift words of Scripture and place them in the text of prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of it, the very words with which we use to praise and thank God are in many cases the very word of God.
Exactly.
We use God's own word to give him praise and thanks.
Eucharistic Prayer 3 is one of my favorite examples of this.
Yeah. So this is the characteristic of the scriptural references, allusions, and sometimes quotes.
This follows the acclamation to the preface, which is the holy, 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 mm-hmm. or the Sanctus. "You are holy, or you are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name." I love that allusion of the rising of the sun to its setting. And that's Old Testament. It's from the Psalms. It's from Micah. I believe.
Yep.
And also with the assembly's response to the invitation to Holy Communion. This is a direct quote from Scripture.
This is the best two. There's actually a couple. Oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I think this is the best example of this characteristic, the biblical allusions that mm-hmm. are in our prayer text.
So the priest genuflects, takes the host and holds it slightly raised and faces the people and invites everyone to receive communion by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." We have two scriptural accounts here. The "Behold the Lamb of God" is from the Gospel according to John.
First chapter.
So it's John the Baptist naming Christ as the Lamb of God.
Who takes away the sins of the world.
And then the supper of the Lamb is that eschatological imagery that we love so much, which is from the book of Revelation. So that what we are doing now is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. The saints and angels surround us. And in Revelation, you hear of the Paschal Lamb surrounded by the hosts in heaven with waving palm branches. And what they are celebrating in heaven, we are getting a foretaste of at the Eucharistic banquet.
And we participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
We participate in that. Let's pick it up there when we come back from this break. Stay with us. We'll be back with more Focus on the Liturgy right after these messages.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy, an element of programming on the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we're talking about the English translation of the Roman Missal, the third edition of the Roman Missal that we'll begin using this coming weekend, just 3 days from now. And just a clarification for those of you who keep score at home, the quote from the prophet in Eucharistic Prayer 3, Danielle and I realized it is from Malachi, not from Micah, but from the prophet Malachi. But we're talking about that characteristic of the scriptural imagery and allusions and quotes. And the best example we were looking at right before that break, the invitation and the response to Holy Communion.
Right, and we were talking about how it comes from the Gospel according to John in the book of Revelation, and then what we are celebrating and participating in right now is a participation or a foretaste in the heavenly banquet, in the Supper of the Lord.
And that's emphasized again by the liturgy in the response to the invitation to communion.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
You look at where that is, obviously. Save one word, another almost direct quote from Scripture.
Mm-hmm. It's Matthew.
Comes from the story of the centurion in Matthew and in Luke. But it's, and we've said, I think we've talked about this on this show, maybe, but it is the Matthean text. Mm-hmm. That is the key here,
right?
Because it's only in the Matthean text that after the exchange between Jesus and the centurion, and he says, "Only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." It's what follows that makes sense as to why we'd be using the words of the centurion at this point in the liturgy, because Matthew follows that up with Jesus saying, "Nowhere in Israel have I found one with such faith." Mm-hmm. And then he says, "Make no mistake, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the heavenly in the heavenly banquet.
Mm-hmm. So you have that tie-in with what our participation is with the heavenly banquet. And what one of the profound things about this text is when you really unpack it, you see the scriptural connections. And this is a direct quote from scripture, that the centurion's words become our words. So we are showing that ultimate faith in Christ, as did the Roman centurion.
That's what I love about the liturgy. It works on so many different levels. By putting the words of the centurion on our lips, we're called to that same kind
right.
of faith.
Exactly.
And it comes to us from Scripture. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, there are so many other examples from the Common English Translation that illustrate this characteristic.
Well, you've used frequently on the show, and I think in your presentations as well, the very collect from the first Sunday of Advent,
which I
apologize to the listeners, I don't have in front of me, but
it's right here.
We will win the race or win the fight and run the race, win the fight, that all of those Pauline images are so clear. And this is what you're going to hear right off on the first Sunday of Advent.
This weekend, grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptural images, you've got the Pauline image of running the race. Mm-hmm. I have fought the good fight, right? But also, you've got the imagery that we just heard this last Sunday. Feast of Christ the King, what did we hear in the gospel? Parable of the sheep and the goats, right? Definitely. You who have fed me when I was hungry and clothed me when I was naked, you with those righteous deeds come at my right. Mm-hmm. And we hear that in today's, not today's, but this coming Sunday's prayer, that they may meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand. The scripture references are all in there.
Yeah, another good example of how the liturgy is circular. That's a great segue from the end of one liturgical year. Granted, you only hear it on one of the three lectionary cycles, but it flows so beautifully into new year.
What's gotten a lot of press in regard to the Common English Translation, the whole ritual dialogue of, we referenced before, Dominus Vobiscum et cum spiritu tuo, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. That's another example of this characteristic we're talking about.
Well, another thing,
those are from Scripture, those greetings.
Yeah. And in the Pauline greetings, it's from the Old Testament with the Gospel of Ruth. The appearance of the angel to Mary, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." All of those examples show how our response is from Scripture, and the greeting and response are from Scripture. And even some of the other options for the priest of greeting the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all is the first option.
Or that's from Paul.
Mm-hmm, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, also from Paul, or simply the Lord be with you.
Which is from Ruth, as we said. Mm-hmm. That's Boaz's greeting, to Ruth and Naomi. Our prayers are literally filled with Scripture. And you can see them in the current translation. Mm-hmm. They will be much more obvious in the coming.
Right.
And there are other characteristics, too.
Well,
we've got the poetry, the scriptural references.
And the literal translation, too. I think it's helpful to point out the Confiteor has changed slightly, and we all remember mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, which is translated literally through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. And I did have a few questions about this at some of the workshops that I gave, and their observation of it focusing on sin. But it's really not about focusing on sin so much as this is literally the mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. So in the minds of the translators was not to focus on the sin, but to literally translate the Latin text.
And that's another element of the poetic qualities of the text.
The threefold rhythm.
Yep, exactly. We'll pick up on there when we come back from this break. Stay with us. We'll be back for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
We'll be right back. Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. We are talking about the, what else, the Roman Missal. Its full implementation of the English translation begins in just a couple of days. And Danielle, before that break, we were talking about specifically the Confiteor and the element, that the poetic element of repetition that is part of other text in the Mass being evident here in the through my fault, through my most grievous fault.
Exactly.
I mean, we hear it in other parts of the Mass.
Right, right.
The holy, holy, holy,
the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God, thank you. The Kyrie. You know, it's in my mind, and all of a sudden I'm trying to name them. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy.
Right.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Lamb of God, you take away the
Often
sins.
Often do a triple alleluia at the through gospel
fault,
acclamation.
Through my fault, through my most grievous fault.
And there is the inclusion of the striking of the breast while you're saying the through my fault, through my fault, through my
which
most grievous fault.
Which has always been
fault,
there.
Which, yeah.
We've never gotten. It's never
a surprise to people. It's always been there. Do you know why it kind of didn't happen?
No,
because the rubric's there.
Right. I think there are a number of things that remember, like you said, in a 2,000-year history, of a liturgical life, 50 years is pretty small. But in the revision of the Mass, I think there were some things that, for many reasons, for whatever reasons, just weren't highlighted. Mm-hmm. The striking of the breast at, through my fault is one of them. But also remember the act of reverence that each individual communicant is to make before receiving communion has always been there.
That's true.
And the bishops in 2004
emphasized that.
They said, we haven't really, it's always been there.
Right.
Let's emphasize it with this coming English translation of the third edition. And so we did. The bishops of the United States said a bow of the head before receiving communion will be the act of reverence. So I think for a number of reasons.
Well, another example of a prayer text that in terms of the literal translation where there are some significant changes, which will be obvious, is the recitation of the creed. And it's in the very first two words of I believe, whereas we had been saying we believe, and I believe is a literal translation of credo.
Right. It's a baptismal format.
Exactly.
Claiming what it is.
It's important that reactions to this is, we're losing the communal aspect by no longer saying we believe. It's focused on ourselves, but you're making a personal statement of faith in the presence of community. So it's still
it's a very
community,
communal thing.
And it's actually fairly profound that way. And that now parallels the Apostles' Creed,
right,
which has always been, I believe.
And I think it's, I also think it's important to realize that the liturgy is pretty inconsistent in terms of the person.
It is.
We say, I confess, and then we say, Our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're going to say, I believe. And then moments later, we're going to say, when we eat this bread. So the liturgy is inconsistent throughout, and that's fine.
You're right.
That's fine.
The other significant phrase in the creed was the change from one in being with the Father to consubstantial with the Father. And consubstantial is literal consubstantiali. Mm-hmm. So it's a little translation. And that does mean one in being with the Father. Parsing out the word, it's with one substance or the same substance. Right. So
it references the mystery of the Trinity.
Exactly.
You know, that's what it tries to capture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more profound than mm-hmm. than one in being.
Mm-hmm.
Incarnate, same.
Right. Incarnate of the virgin and became man. So emphasizing the birth as an incarnation of the God made flesh.
Who existed before that moment.
There never was a time that Christ was not.
Right.
I love that phrase.
Exactly. You know, I mean, we make the point in the workshops, you know, all of us were born. You were born. I was born. Every listener was born. None of us were incarnate.
Right.
We didn't exist before that moment, before that time of being conceived and being born.
Right.
So,
we did want to touch on the memorial acclamations, which if you're doing early implementation, you have been singing one of these. We've moved from four options to three options, and I think one of the most popular acclamation was the Christ has died, which mm-hmm. has been omitted, and the reason for that is simply, well, first, it was not in the Latin Missal.
No, Christ has died, Christ has risen was an adaptation that Rome gave permission
exactly.
for us to use for English-speaking conferences
exactly.
to use.
Exactly. So there's a meaning behind what an acclamation is. And an acclamation is addressed to someone. So if you look at the other three, they're all addressed to Christ. We proclaim your death, O Lord, starts off the first one. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord. And then save us, Savior of the world. So you can see they all follow a similar pattern, yeah. and they're addressed to Christ.
One of the few places in the Eucharistic liturgy that the prayer is addressed to
Christ. Right, because in every other example, it's to the Father through Christ.
Right.
So Christ has died was not really an acclamation. It was about him. It was a statement of faith.
Which we've already done in the creed.
Right, right.
So you're right. It's not addressed to Christ. Mm-hmm. As the memorial acclamation calls us
exactly.
to.
And this also follows like the third option for the penitential act. All of the invocations to the penitential act are also addressed to Christ and Lamb of God.
Yep.
So there are a few instances of that. But if you're looking at it as a memorial acclamation,
it doesn't do that. Right.
And the invitation to make that acclamation has changed. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith has changed to simply the mystery of faith. So in that invitation, then we acclaim that mystery through those texts which are addressed to Christ.
Right. And as we were talking, I have to admit, when we realized that we weren't going to have permission to continue using Christ has died, that bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It did. I thought, we know it so well. We've been using it so long. How could, until I dug a little bit and
right.
realized
why,
that,
yeah,
and that it doesn't do what the memorial acclamation calls us to do.
Yeah.
And then it made sense to me, and I was okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle, I think that's going to be some response, a lot of the response of the people. Once they understand the background, as we've been helping to set in this show, a lot of it makes more sense.
Absolutely. The catechesis and formation are essential with all of this.
Let's pick up there when we come back from this last break. So stay with us. We'll be back with more Focus on the Liturgy after these messages.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll tell you about the renovation of Our Lady of the Angels Church in Chicago's Humboldt Park neighborhood. We'll talk with Cardinal George about the new Roman Missal and the changes you can expect at Sunday Mass. And we'll take you to a concert hosted by the Missionaries of the Poor, a group dedicated to making the world a better place for the severely oppressed.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM and our last segment of the show talking about the Roman Missal, which we will begin using this coming Saturday evening. The Mass of Anticipation for the first Sunday of Advent, brand new liturgical year, brand new season, and a brand new translation.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, 10 years in the making.
Yeah.
New translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. Danielle, I mean, we've been talking about the whole show or talking during this whole show about kind of some excitement and such, but you know, it's going to be a little it's going to be new, it's going to be different, it's going to be a little messy in a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, I think the translation affects priests more than it does the people in terms of learning the prayers and the syntax and the rhythm.
Long sentences in this coming translation, more literal translation of the Latin, those sentences in the Eucharistic prayer are long. The preface is sometimes one sentence.
Yeah, exactly. There's a strong learning curve. And remember, priests have been praying these prayers for a long time.
It's
in their hearts. More often than not, they don't need to look at the book anymore. So now they're learning them from square one again.
Yep.
So they're going to be focused on the book for a while.
We need to be patient with them.
To the
listeners, you know, if one of the priests, you know, inadvertently shifts back into the current translation because they know it in their hearts, don't take it as malice. Give them room. You know, it's a mistake. We're going to make
the laity are going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm.
You know, the we're going to be given the invitation, the Lord be with you, and some of us are going to be on automatic pilot, and we're going to say, and also with you. Give ourselves time.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that we're being, you know, unfaithful to the church. We all know these prayers so well.
You're probably going to notice different worship aids in your pews this weekend. Many parishes who may not have been using missalettes, for example, may have them now.
Right. Because the full order of Mass will be in there.
You may have pew cards. I know some liturgists have been taping the new responses on the inside of hymnals, for example.
There you are.
You may have worship aids that your parish designed where the texts are there.
So be attentive
to that. You're going to need them.
And for however long a parish uses them, is going to, you know, it'll vary from parish to parish.
Mm-hmm.
Some parish may have to have the pew cards for a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
Others maybe less.
Right.
Depending on how long it takes for the whole community to get these newly translated texts into our hearts.
Right. You're going to say the creed this weekend, so you'll notice the differences there. Like we said before, the Gloria won't be done until Immaculate Conception or Christmas. You'll be singing that again. So pay attention, see what kind of resources you have there.
I'm waving because I think that's an excellent point. Pay attention. This is a great opportunity for the big banner, the soapbox that we, you know, full active and conscious participation. We've done full and active really well. Maybe this is an opportunity for more conscious participation.
Right. And even
paying attention to the words we say.
Even with the homily, you know, usually they're focused on scripture. You might notice a change in the next few weekends that he might be unpacking the liturgical texts.
And there's so much to unpack. So as you and I have both been saying for the last year, Danielle, this is more than just learning new words.
Yeah.
We've got every one of our listeners, every Catholic has in this country, we've got to take this opportunity to use this new translation as a means to come to a deeper understanding and appreciation of the liturgy.
Right, so that we can participate in it more fully and consciously and actively.
Yeah, there is nothing more important than this in the lives of Catholics.
The words shape us, they form us, they mold us into who we are as Christians.
They tell us what we believe.
Exactly, it's that Latin premise, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. What we pray is what we believe, and so we live.
With this poetry that we've been talking about, with the scriptural emphasis, let those words take you to a deeper understanding, mm-hmm. huh? A deeper level. Mm-hmm. If that's where we're at, it's all right, okay. This next level in the liturgical renewal
right.
can take us deeper. I mean, we plumb these texts, some of which you made note earlier, some of these texts we've had for literally millennia.
Yes.
You know, there's so much in them.
Yes.
The richness, the beauty.
The beauty, the poetry.
You know, the sense of giving voice to what we believe.
And a sense of universality with those of who've gone before us in faith.
Yeah. You know, all of it, I think, is very profound.
Well, if you're looking for resources to continue the catechesis or for your own personal catechesis and education, visit our website, ltp.org. We have numerous resources that can help you with this change.
The designated website.
Mm-hmm. We have another one on the Roman Missal. It's revisedromanmissal.org. You can also go to the bishop's website, usccb.org/Roman Missal. There's a lot there. The texts of the Advent prayers and the Order of Mass are available as a PDF on their website. And even ODW's website has numerous resources as well.
Yep.
ODW.org.
All things, you know, that can help people do exactly what we're saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, unpack these texts and come to a deeper understanding and make it more than just about new words.
Right, exactly. And like you said, you know, pay attention this weekend, you know, look at the words, think about what they
yeah.
mean in the context of what we're doing.
This weekend and in the coming weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, parishioners, listeners, you can download the Order of Mass at home,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same stuff that will be on the pew cards, but spend time yourselves
right.
reflectively, prayerfully reading and praying these texts.
There's a great PDF on the bishop's website that has each of the texts footnoted so you can see where from Scripture these texts come,
yep.
Which I think is really, really helpful. And as we've been talking through the show about some of the scriptural texts in our prayers, it really opens it up. It sheds light on the meaning.
Yeah, it takes you to a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot going on this weekend. Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
A lot of family members, a lot of visitors in. As we said, a brand new liturgical year. Happy New Year. new liturgical season and a new translation of the text. Interestingly, just so our listeners know, this is such an important event that Relevant Radio and here the Archdiocese Radio and TV are going to rebroadcast this show we're doing now, day after tomorrow, on mm-hmm. Friday morning as well, given the import of this weekend. So,
right. As we said, this is the most significant change since the early 70s.
And something that is continuing that renewal that was started then to take us to that, as the Constitution says, to that deeper understanding so that we can unite our prayer with that of Christ, offering the Immaculate Victim not only at the hands of the priest but along with him,
mm-hmm.
and so that we may learn to offer ourselves.
Right. And come even enter more fully into that deep, conscious, active participation in the liturgical rites.
The very foretaste of
the heavenly banquet.
The participation at this moment mm-hmm. in the heavenly banquet, the very source and summit of our Christian lives, as the Church says. Everything that your parish does flows out of this celebration.
And leads back into it.
Yep. It is the heart of who we are as mm-hmm. Catholics. So there is nothing unimportant about the liturgy. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Happy
Advent.
Happy implementation.
Happy
weekend.
Implementation. This is Todd Williamson.
And Danielle Knott.
God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.